So we've been talking about discipleship teams, the idea of focusing our Sunday schools or small groups and our ministry teams to be more engaged in doing what Jesus asked us to do in the Great Commission, and that was to go and make disciples. We're using these three groups that already exist, and we're using the three elements that are involved in each of those groups to accomplish this. Things like Bible study, fellowship, service. And we're using those to fulfill our vision, which is in your bulletin this week. And that is that we want to be a church that's visibly attached or connected to the heart of Christ. And so we're bringing hope to our community. And then the last part of our summer here, we've been looking at the three parts there at the very end, through serving, transforming, and reproducing. And so we talked about serving, we talked about transforming, and this last 3 weeks we're talking about reproducing. So making other disciples. Today our main text is going to be from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you want to go there, we're going to keep bouncing back to it. There will be a handful of other scriptures, so those will be a little more of a Bible hopscotch, as I call it. But our main text, where we'll keep returning to, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read that real quick here. It says, "For we know," verse 4, "for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not just simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." Pray with me. Father, we ask that you'd help us to see and to be encouraged by the interactions with Paul and the church in Thessalonica, and then the church in Thessalonica and their influence over Macedonia and Achaia, and just that it became known everywhere. I pray that you would help us to have this kind of an impact. You'd help us to be able to repeat the things that happened in Scripture by pulling out some principles that we can use. Help us to adopt these. Help us to put these into our already existing programs. And help us to be a model for each other and a model for those who have not yet seen you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for the first little bit today, we're going to zero in on a single verse found there in verse 5 of what we just read. And we're going to throw it back up on the screen here. And it's just a very simple little sentence, very end of verse 5. And it says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." You know how we lived among you for your sake. Paul's very deliberate in this. Paul understood the responsibility that he had while he spent time with the Thessalonians. He was responsible to provide an example of what a follower of Christ looked like, of what a follower of Christ was, what a disciple, how a disciple acted, how a disciple talked, the way a disciple's mind was transformed, the compassion the disciple had in his heart for others. This was not just God's calling on Paul in his life. This was not just an individual calling. Paul recognized in his life what God expects of all Christians. Let's go and write this down. We are responsible to demonstrate an example to others to see and follow. Paul was responsible with that, and we also need to be responsible with that. Like it or not, people watch us. People watch you. People watch me. They watch the choices we make. They watch the attitude we have. They watch to see what's important to us. Where we spend our time and money, it shows what's important to us. Your family watches, your coworkers watch, your neighbors watch, the people you live around. Paul says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. I will influence those I live among." Paul recognized that, and I think we should recognize that also. I will influence those I live among. People I'm around, the people I bump shoulders with, the people that see me every day. I'm going to influence those people. We are going to influence those people. And we should. We should influence those people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we are to be an influence. We are to let our light shine. People should look to us. They should be influenced by us. And we should be aware of that. We should take responsibility for that and demonstrate an example for others to see and follow. Paul was conscious of how he lived because he knew that people were watching him. He wanted to provide an example to follow. When we acknowledge the influence that we have on those around us, we also have to acknowledge the responsibility that comes with that influence. So let's write that down. Acknowledging the influence acknowledges the responsibility. We will influence those around us, those who we live among. We have a responsibility to be an example to them. And once we realize the influence, then we are responsible for that. Paul says in Philippians, he says, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So we know in Thessalonica and in Philippi, Paul lived deliberately with this responsibility of knowing that he needed to provide an example for people to follow, and such that he was so bold in being able to say, join with others in following my example and the pattern that I've set for you, and follow that. Everyone should live in such a way that we can encourage others to follow our example. We should be able to say the same things. This shouldn't just be Paul. Every one of us, every Christian should be able to say, follow my example. Follow the pattern that I've given to you through my life, through the way I live. The pattern that we show through our lives, it should be a pattern worth repeating, shouldn't it? People should want to repeat the patterns we have. Paul saw the influence that he had on others. He saw the responsibility that he had because he had influence. And he lived deliberately to be that example. We see it in Thessalonica. We see it in Philippi. And a little bit later, we're going to see that he did the same thing in Corinth. It seems to be a pattern for Paul. And we're told back in our main text that he did it for their sake. He says in that one little passage here that we're looking at the beginning, he says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. We would do well to adopt this ourselves. I must live deliberately to be an example to those I influence. I must live deliberately to be an example to those who I influence. It won't always happen if we leave it to chance. There's a reason why the word disciple and discipline are very similar. It takes discipline to be a disciple. We have to think about it. We have to work through it. We can't just anticipate that everything's going to naturally work out in such a way that we're going to live a life that's going to be an example. It's something that we have to consciously do. We have to deliberately do that. It has to be with intent. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We must live deliberately. We must live intentionally with the understanding that we will influence those who we live among. We have a responsibility to those who are in our circle of influence. We have to be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Some of us are uncomfortable with the idea of consciously living in such a way that others will follow our example. You may think, well, I'm not a leader, or I'm not worth following, or you know, that needs to change. You should be worth following. And I do agree, there are some that are naturally gifted, that are spiritually gifted as leaders, but we should all be responsible because we will all have someone following us. We will all have someone looking to our example. And all we have to do is follow God's example. So you don't have to be a pioneer to be a leader. All you have to do is follow God's example. A little earlier in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we imitate God, then others can imitate us. Should work out that way. On paper, it works out that way. Paul says we should be imitators of God, and that we should live a life of love just as Christ loved us. So we should imitate God, we should imitate Christ. Isn't that what we should be doing anyway, regardless if we recognize the responsibility we have or the influence we have of those around us? Shouldn't we be imitating God anyway with our life? Shouldn't we be following Jesus? Isn't that what a disciple is? Someone who follows Jesus. The great thing about this is that if we live our lives imitating God or imitating Jesus, then when others are influenced by our lives, when they follow our example, they aren't just imitating us, they are imitating God then. Back in our main text in Thessalonians, he says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of who? The Lord. See, others imitate us. If we're imitating God, then others imitate us, and in turn, they imitate Jesus. If we're doing what Ephesians 5 says, to imitate God, to live a life of love like Christ, then when we live a life that way, we set an example to follow. Those who we influence, those who we understand our responsibility to, then others will imitate us, and in turn, they imitate Jesus. We should be safe to imitate. We should be safe people to follow. Our influence in the lives around us should lead them closer to Christ. That should be what happens when we're living among other people, when we live deliberately. Here's a passage I told you we were going to cover in Corinthians, where Paul shares that he deliberately lived this way also in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So let's write this down. They can follow my example if I follow Jesus. Others who are influenced by me, we imitate God, and others can imitate us, and in turn, they'll imitate Jesus. And the way that happens is that they can follow my example because I follow Jesus, just like Paul told the church in Corinth. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And then here's where the idea of reproducing comes out in our text. So Paul deliberately lives imitating God, imitating Christ, so that they would imitate him, and in turn they would imitate Christ. And then watch what happens in the last part of this. We've already read it, but I want to reread this section here. He says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. And then down in verse 7, he says, and you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So they followed Paul's example. Paul followed Jesus' example. They connected with Jesus. They started following Paul's example, but also Jesus' example. And then what happened? They became a model. They became an example to those in Macedonia and Achaia. Even, it says, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. So those who were influenced by Paul then influenced others. Those who looked to Paul as a model, they became a model themselves. Those who followed Paul's example because those who followed Paul's example because Paul followed Christ had others who followed them, not just because they followed Paul, but more importantly, because they followed Christ. So let's write this down as we think and kind of reflect on that. Then they become examples for others to see and follow. And that's where reproducing comes in play. We're making new disciples. We're reproducing people. And we're doing it through modeling, through giving an example, simply through living together, through being deliberate in the time that we spend with other people, those who are around us. Disciples reproduce other disciples through being examples for each other to follow. Fellowship among disciples should result in reproducing more disciples. And that's how we connect this to discipleship teams. I mean, we realize the truth of all this, that we are going to have an outside influence, that we're going to influence those that we live among. But if we have discipleship teams that we are specifically involved in, and there is a specific goal and a specific drive to be discipleship teams there in your Sunday school, in your small group, in your ministry teams, to say, when we're here together, one of our purposes in our fellowship, in our time together, is to influence each other, to be examples for each other. There's an accountability there. There's a responsibility we have for each other. And we can create an environment in those smaller groups, in these discipleship groups, where we share life together, where we influence, and we hope to be an influence to others, and we hope to be influenced ourselves. We share influence. If a discipleship team is taking discipleship seriously, then they will take responsibility for one another. And you'll strive to imitate God together and to encourage that through your lives as you imitate God yourselves, to encourage each other to imitate God. And if that's what's happening in your discipleship teams, if that's what's happening in your small group, in your Sunday school, in your ministry teams, then what a great group to invite someone into that has started to be influenced through your outside touches. If it's a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, someone that you rub shoulders with, someone that you've developed a relationship with, someone that you have accepted that responsibility of the influence and said, you know what, I'm going to live my life as an example for this person. And then when the time is right, when you have an opportunity to invite them into a group where they're all doing that, then the purpose of that can be to produce more disciples, to bring more people in. Those can be places where we can bring people into, knowing this is we're farming disciples. It's a farm group, purposefully built that way. So we influence those we rub shoulders with. We influence those that are around us. And then when we can, we bring them into a small group, into a Sunday school, into a ministry team, where we can have a more concentrated, where everyone is being an example, where everyone is being an influence. And then those who we influenced, then they influence others, just like Paul influenced the church in Thessalonica, and they influenced the Macedonians and those in Achaia. That's how we can be more deliberate. More deliberate in our desire, in our impact, in making disciples, in reproducing disciples. In our Sunday school, in our small groups, in our ministry teams.